Okay, we are in John chapter 8. And we're going to read verses 37 through 41. Start here with Micah, and everybody just grab a verse.
37 through 41?
Yes, that's great. Yeah, I think we're ready to go, Micah.
I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you.
I speak the things which I have seen with my father, therefore you also do the things which you heard from your father.
They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you are Abraham's children, do the deeds of Abraham.
But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did.
You are doing the deeds of your father. They said to him, were we not born of fornication? We were not born of fornication. We have one father, God.
You say no, Craig, but that definitely changes the meaning of that sentence. So, personal experience, what's the point someone has to come to before they really will acknowledge the scriptures are true and that they have a point, other than the Bible's the word of God? What are we trying to get across to people? What's the bad news? Anybody who's been through Mr. Wilson's Bible studies. What's the bad news of the gospel?
Sin.
Yes.
Sin.
You got it. Exactly. You sin. You know, that's what we got to do. That's what the gospel does. It drives us into sin, and it shows us really the price of sin. What is the price of sin?
Condemnation.
Yes, to both. Condemnation and death. You're exactly right, Micah. That's a good answer. So an individual finds out he sins, and then and that the eternal punishment for that sin is condemnation, eternal death, and the lake of fire. Who being on?
It's
Jeremy. Can you read Romans? Let's go to Romans chapter 6. Let me get the verse.
All have sinned.
What's that?
All have sinned.
That's Romans 3. Let's go to Romans 6. My printer cut off part of the verse, so I have to find it. Verse 23.
For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Thanks. So the first part of that verse is kind of what we're driving at. You know, sin brings forth death, which brings us eternal condemnation from God. So really, you know, the Pharisees, they like to try to be above the ruling party, kind of try to keep their hands clean, so to speak. And the reality is, you know, especially in our society today, what is, you know, in schools, are kids corrected? What's a PC thing to do? Oh, you're not wrong. You're kind of right. You're sort of right. You know, I mean, that's what they, in public schools today, be thankful your kids are not in public schools. Because they're doing a disservice. Nobody's wrong. Relativism. It just depends on your perspective, your point of view. You know, but God calls it as it is. Sin is sin. And sin, our sin, no matter who the person is, whether you're a serial killer or you're a backstabber, you've caused that sin caused Christ's death. That's what killed Jesus. That's why he went to the cross, was for our sin. So the analysis as Jesus is going through his earthly sojourn was, I'm just reading from John 15, 22-24. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have sinned. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He awaits me, he's my Father also. If I had not done among them the works that no one else did, they would not have sinned. But now they have both seen and hated me, my Father as well. People hated Jesus, the ruling party especially, because he showed them their sin. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees, I think that they had gotten so full of themselves, they didn't think they sinned. You know, you'll see that all throughout the Gospels. You know, the the dirty sinners, the common people, they held themselves aloof. But in reality, they sinned as well. Romans 3:23, someone kind of mentioned, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned. And no matter if it was a big sin or a little sin, that sin is what was why Christ went to the cross. But people, do you like it? Does anybody here like to make mistakes?
No.
Do you like it when you make a mistake and somebody finds out? Hey, that even worse. You know, people hate it when they find out your dirty laundry. But in reality, does God know your dirty laundry?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he does. You know, so, you know, you might be able to fool, you know, the people, the general public, but God really knows your heart. He knows where you're at. The Pharisees and Sadducees, the ruling party, they thought they could fool even God. They thought they didn't sin. And in reality, they'd sin the most, you know, in their denial of Jesus as who he was, the Son of God. So, instead of the Pharisees and Sadducees, instead of acknowledging their sin and acknowledging that Jesus came to point that out and to take care of it, what did they do? What was their reaction?
Kill him.
Kill him, yeah. Kill the messenger. That's exactly what that was, their reaction. And that's the wrong reaction. Okay? You know, I think it's funny when you read about the raising of Lazarus from the dead. What did they do right after that?
Kill him.
Plot to kill him. I'm thinking, are you really thinking this through? And it's the same way with sin, you know. What about truth? Truth doesn't fear what?
Right.
But lies do, because eventually they get found out. Okay. So that is, we want to be those of the truth, and we want to, Jesus came not to hide our sins, but so we could confess our sins and be free from our sins. And those that understood that were excited to him. See him. Those that weren't were recoiled against him and wanted to put him to death. What was the Pharisees and Sadducees? What was their rebuttal? Why did they think they were so hoity-toity? What did they say there in John chapter 8? What's that?
They were Abraham's children.
Exactly. Abraham's offspring. We have the lineage. We are a privileged people. Okay, and basically that had blinded them about who they really were. This is a typical fallback. Who are we on? Reading? Lydia, can you read Matthew chapter 3, verse 9?
And do not suppose that you can say to yourselves, we have Abraham for our fathers, for I say to you that from these stones God is able to raise up children to Abraham.
Thanks. So, you know, again, they're trusting in themselves. But Jesus says, your physical lineage isn't going to count for much when we move into the new covenant. He's saying from these stones, basically saying from the Gentiles. And that's exactly what he did. Ruling party did not recognize that the true offspring of Abraham would be those who trust in Christ's words, who trusted in what he said and who he said he was and the works that spoke of him, rather than some earthly pedigree. Okay? People put way too much emphasis on privilege and position in this life. So when you die, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, there's the story of the individual who's very wealthy, and so he took all of his money and turned it into gold and was buried with it. And he got to St. Peter, pearly gates, and he has a wheelbarrow of gold. And St. Peter goes, why ain't all that pavement here? The streets are paved in gold in heaven, you know. Yeah, and I don't know exactly why God chose that metaphor, but it shows that he doesn't. Either that heaven's really valuable or gold's not. However you want to look at it. So, but gold, you know, the earthly pedigree, position, power, prestige, what it is nothing in the eternal realm, especially with the new covenant. You know, it doesn't matter who you are born of. Physical lineage doesn't matter. Spiritual lineage is what's going to really matter. Jesus acknowledged that they were physical descendants of Abraham, but he said there was a problem with that. He said, I know you're Abraham's offspring, yet you seek to kill me. Mm-hmm. You know, like, so this isn't really adding up. If you think you're so righteous, why are you trying to kill me? It wasn't connecting. And Jesus himself knew what was in man. Okay, he knew what was in the heart of people. You know, could he read their minds? I don't think so. He just was a student of human beings. Lots of people long enough to figure out how they work. You know, it doesn't take too long to figure people out. So, the treasury, the selfless Son of Man, he pointed out to the Jews that they were sinners and that their sins had made them slaves. And he said only Jesus was going to be able to make them free, the Son of Man. You know, their answer, what was their answer to that? Great freedom! No. It's like, okay, we got to figure out how to shut this guy up. It's funny, if you look at Jesus, the 3.5 years which are chronicled in the New Testament, his popularity goes like this. At first, everybody likes him. They're like, yeah, that's cool what he's saying. But then when they figured out that the ruling party especially figured out that he wasn't going to be one of the club, just one of the big boys club, they said, oh, we got to get rid of this guy. And ultimately accumulated when he went to the cross. And basically they're saying, hey, you know, he's not going to be part of us, so now we're against him. And they're setting him up ultimately to be crucified. Jesus said, you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. They had hardened hearts. Okay. You know, Jesus didn't harden their hearts. They chose to harden their hearts. My word has no place in you. What does that mean? My word has no place in you.
What? You don't love God.
You don't love God. That's part of it. But why?
Because you don't abide by his words.
Yeah, well, if something's hard, what does that mean? If you got some hard pan or you got something that's super hard, what happens? Nothing can get into it. Okay. And that was what was happening with his word. It was just boom, bouncing off of them. They weren't even hearing it. Couldn't even comprehend it. They had hardened hearts. They were highly religious, and they had an outward form of God. In fact, what they did, they were good at doing stuff, but their hearts were actually closed when the words of Jesus got up close and personal to their lives. Basically how they treated others. They were condemned because they looked down on those who weren't of privilege or power or position. They lorded it over people, their money and their wealth.
Yeah. It was all about the show.
Exactly. And they wanted to keep that show. They did not want anyone to see what's behind the curtain. They were very concerned about that. Jesus' words, though, got up close and personal. Mark, do you want to read Matthew chapter 7, verse 15?
I don't have my phone.
Oh, Karen said you had a Bible, or I wouldn't have called. Sorry.
Sorry, what was the mark?
Matthew 7:15. I'm gonna blame the woman who told me. She gave me the fruit. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15.
Adam was there too.
Matthew 7:15.
Yeah.
Where the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves.
Thank you very much. So, wolves, okay? They look good on the outside, but inside there's all sorts of problems. Wolves in sheep's clothing. Satan's minister, could someone, let's see, so who are we on? No voice? I can't hear you. What are you saying? Kendall, can you read 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13? Let me figure out what it is. My copy cut off. 2 Corinthians 13, 13 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I'm sorry. Yes.
For such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. No wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising that his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds.
Thank you. So, Satan, people are always worried about the people who, you know, put on satanic masks and bite off bat's head and dance around the fire in the middle of the night. I'm not as worried about that guy as I'm about the false teachers down the street. Okay? Those are the ones that look good. Those are the ones you really got to watch out for, because they take the gospel and just twitch it enough that it's powerless. You know, they rip out the real power of the gospel. And you got to watch for those. Outwardly, do they look good? Yeah. They do good works. You know. But when it comes to the salvation, I don't mind having my neighbors. They mow their lawn. You know, they take care of their place. I mean, I worked for a Mormon back in Idaho, because most everybody was Mormon. And it was one of my best bosses I ever had. Okay, I mean, he was a nice guy, family man. But when it comes to salvation, well, no, we've got a problem. And you got to watch it. You know, the Mormons are very good at hooking people. So are the Catholics. I mean, a lot of them are, because they have lots of good works. But when you get down to actually salvation, they've got a problem. Yes, Micah?
That's actually a pretty good description of the Jews here. They're saying that we're Abraham's descendants and they're acting all righteous. But when Jesus comes down and actually shows them all what's in the Bible and what it says, and basically the opposite of what they are, they're like, okay, now we've got to get rid of them.
Yep, that's exactly right. They looked good on the outside. I bet to have a Jew as your neighbor would be great. He took care of his house, or supposed to be a Pharisee. Or a Sadducee, they had lots of money. You know, if you were part of their club, they treated you really good. Okay, but and they looked good from the outside, but inwardly they were a mess. And those are the ones you got to watch, because those are the ones that just twist the scripture enough that it's not true. And that's exactly what the Jews had done. Jesus, though, was in tune with the Father. He knew what it meant to truly follow God. He knew what mattered. What mattered was the heart. Because from the heart flow our mouth, flow our words, flow our actions, flows everything we do. Jews were trying to get all this under control, but you can see the harder they tried to get it under control because their heart wasn't good, the more they loaded guilt and heavy burdens is what Jesus called. He loaded them on people's backs they couldn't bear, and even them themselves weren't bearing them. They were just good to show. And that's what, if you look at Christianity in modern culture today, what is it? To show. Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, I haven't been in it, but I've heard about, you know, Faith Chapel. I hear it's quite a show. Someone told me they can do fireworks. I mean, that's definitely a show. Okay. Pyrotechnics? Yep. So, have you seen the show?
What is it called?
So yes, you know, they're really good about the show, but what you win them with is what you win them to. Make sure I got it right order, but yeah, if you win them with the show, what's going to happen when the next guy gets the bigger show? They're gone. Okay, you want to win them to righteousness. You want to win them to Jesus' words. And Jesus' words were what won the common person. He says, I speak the things which I have seen with my Father. Simply stated, I teach, I speak what God has shown me. Okay. Jesus was in tune with God. The Jews, you know, and this is what really got Jesus on their bad side, were basically in tune with Satan. They were blinded or deceived. They saw all the good things that Jesus did, but didn't believe in who he was. Jesus was in the process of carefully exposing how deceived the Jews had been by the Pharisees and Sadducees, moving in step to disclose their practices. He said, I speak the things which I have seen with my Father. Therefore, you also do the things which you have heard from your Father. That was John 8:18. Since they were in so much opposition to Jesus, they at least they at least had a hint at who really was their father. Again, they were seeking to kill him. It's crazy. You know, you think they would stop at that point and would see what they are doing. There is really only two sides to the spiritual war. Where are they? Yep. How do we know who's good and bad?
What spirit they're of.
What's that?
What spirit they're of.
Say that again.
What spirit they're of.
What spirit they're of? Yeah. So what spirit are you? How do you know what spirit you are?
It shows.
There is also another way.
Fruit.
The fruit of the spirit, right. And what spirit is that?
Holy Spirit.
I'm prying out you guys. The Holy Spirit. How do you get the Holy Spirit?
Through immersion.
Immersion, yes, exactly. That's how you know the light and the bad. You get immersed into Christ, it gives you the Spirit. Now that's not a, hey, I'm dunked, I'm good. No. It's then you show the fruit of the Spirit because that Spirit lives with inside of you. And you practice that daily. It's what you practice is what you become. So there's two voices, the voice of the devil and the voice of the Lord. You can't hear the voice of the Lord because you're caught up in the voice of the devil. And so in immersion, we get that stripped away so we can now hear what God truly has to say. Christ made it plain that the voices that the Jews heard was Satan's. He really aggravated him. He said, my word has no place in you. But it didn't. They weren't listening to him. There was no... They weren't going to... Oh, yeah, you're right. No. There. Go ahead, Renzo.
You know, I was thinking about Paul. It's pretty interesting that in some verses he talks about how his conscience was clean under the law and everything. But then you like look at Romans 7, and he's saying how he was still conflicted because he's trying to live by the law and you can't.
Right.
There's no way it will ever work.
Right.
That's why Jesus came, because we needed that.
Exactly. Yeah, you're exactly right. Romans 7 is kind of a rear view mirror of him trying to live under the law. I think it was before he was immersed, and I think even a little bit after he was immersed. You get immersed into Christ and try to live under law, you know, you'll just become a good Pharisee. You know, and you'll be good at pointing out everyone else's sin, or you'll be so busy trying to hide your own. Neither one is beneficial at all. And so, Jesus speaks now through how's God speak to us now? Bible, not your iPad. Yeah, through the Bible. That's really the only way he speaks. You know, people have all sorts of ways they want to believe Jesus has spoken to them in a vision, at night, or whatever, through a dream, out in the back 40, whatever it may be. But no, he speaks through his word. Jamina, are we on you? Can you read Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2? Yes.
Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world.
Thanks. So, God has now spoken to us through Jesus Christ. And if you have the red letter edition of the New Testament, they're all red. It's all the God's word that was given to the writers of the New Testament. It has now been recorded for us. And this is what we have to go by. Not how we feel, not what we may think, or anything like this. It is going to be Jesus' word that will pierce through the darkness. And it is dark around. Jesus' word pierced through the Pharisees and Sadducees and all their mumbo-jumbo and their way they would twist things around. And why did that? What had the Pharisees done with all of their power? Have they went and helped a lot of people? No. What was it all about? Yeah, power and money. Money and power. That's what they'd use their position for, to put everybody else underneath their thumb. That's not what God wants. Jesus, how much money did he have? He have a big fancy house? No. We're not even sure if he had more than one set of clothing. That was about all he owned, what was on his back. Okay.
12 disciples, they wouldn't even place to lay their head.
Yep. Nice. So don't worry about where are you going to sleep? The mind focused on the spiritual.
He probably could have had a fancy house.
Where was his fancy house?
In heaven.
You betcha.
Mansion.
Mansion in heaven. That's what really matters. So Abraham was promised his descendants would be numerous as the sands of the seashore. And you want to read Genesis chapter 22, verses 15 through 18? Chapter 22, verses 15 through 18. Thank you. So, Abraham is promised that his descendants would be numerous, too many to count. And because of this promise to Abraham, the Jews, you know, especially the ruling ones, the Pharisees, Sadducees, lawyers, whatever, they put a lot of emphasis on their physical descendants, being a physical descendant of Abraham. They use that to basically put other people underneath their thumb. They didn't use it as anything good. They used that privileged position, or at least they thought what they thought was a privileged position, to manipulate those around them. That's not what God wanted at all. That wasn't his direction. They, even at this point, the Pharisees and Sadducees, they'd forgotten the admonition of John the Baptist when he had come for their immersions in Jordan. Sarah said, therefore bring fruit in keeping with repentance. You know, John the Immerser, you know, he's the one going to pave the way. He says, hey, you guys, when they come, you need to start to bear some fruit. Probably because they weren't bearing fruit. And then their response was that, we have Abraham of our fathers. Anybody remember what John said to that? John's response to the Pharisees and Sadducees saying, we have Abraham as our father. What's that?
Is that to do with these?
Not exactly. How he was going to be, you know, Jesus' response to that was, for I say to you that God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even John the Baptist, that's why he's a foreigner. He's laying this. He's saying, don't put the emphasis on your privileged power or position. Okay? Start doing the deeds. Okay? Our deeds are way more important than our lineage. And if our deeds don't line up with our actions, our deeds are going to show where our heart is. Words have power, but only if they go along with what we are actually saying. Those who had paid careful attention to the message of God were aware that our physical lineage gave you no standing with God, and doesn't today. You know, it was no accident that in AD 70 the Romans totally blitzed and wiped out Jerusalem, because up to that point in time they took meticulous records of being Jew. If you say you're a Jew today, you know, you might be from the Palestinian region, but it is impossible to trace your lineage back to Abraham. Back then they could, and they took a lot of pride in that. They were very careful. But God, in 70 AD, wiped out Jerusalem for a reason. So no more worrying about our physically where we are from. That really doesn't matter. Now it's going to be about the heart. Only the proper heart is going to be acceptable to God. Are you? Beginning with Romans chapter 2, verses 28 and 29.
For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outwardly in the flesh. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that which is of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the letter. And his praise is not from men, but from God.
Circumcision was a sign of the covenant between God and Jews. Okay, but now it's becoming a spiritual circumcision. We've proved that that happens when we're immersed into Jesus Christ. But it's going to matter the circumcision of the heart. Because the inward heart, that's where all the bad stuff is, and that's what needs to get taken care of. So God has set it up that way. That now we're going to get to really, you know, pun intended, heart of the problem. It's inside of us. It's where that comes from. So Jesus was working on the Jews who were confronting him in the temple treasury. He's trying to get this across to them. It's your heart that's messed up. Okay? Sure, you guys are great. I get it. You know, but you're great only in the flesh, which doesn't matter. It's the heart that needs to get fixed. He was able to draw this conclusion because of their response to him. He says, I speak the things which I have seen with my Father. Therefore, see also you do the things which you have heard from your Father. Their actions were not Abraham's actions. Their actions were not God's actions. You know, God cared about the lowly, the widow. They didn't. They only cared about who gives money. That was where their heart was at. They tried to, one of their arguments, they tried to say that Abraham was their father. That didn't go too far. Like I said, Jesus was intelligently and successfully backing these Jews into a corner. They said, Abraham is our father. They reverted to the point to trust in physical circumcision. Do you think the Jews knew their actions weren't really above board? Yeah, they did. And what were they trusting in? Were they trusting in their actions? No. They even weren't trusting in their actions. Their argument with Jesus, the debate they're having, they're not saying, look at what we're doing. We're taking care of the widows, the orphans, or we're feeding the poor. No, they didn't say anything like that. Their argument was, Abraham's my dad. they couldn't make any sort of argument based upon their actions or what they had been doing. All their argument was based upon their physical lineage, was to trust in that physical circumcision. And Jesus has challenged them. He said, if you are Abraham's children, do the deeds of Abraham. What was Abraham's response when God told him to do something? He did, yeah. He said, jump how high? Go to a land where you don't know anybody? Sure, I'm off. Pack them up, Sarah, we're heading out. My descendants are going to be as numerous. The sands of the seashore, fantastic. Oh, I've got to kill my firstborn son? I'm sure that wasn't an easy choice. Or second one, yeah, well, through Sarah it was. But yeah, it was tough. I'm sure it wasn't an easy decision, but he did it. He did it, willing to go up to the point of sacrificing his son Isaac, even when he was promised his descendants would be numerous as the sands of the seashore. And I think it was even promised it would be through Isaac. Mm-hmm. I mean, I gotta believe that part of this, that is his logical, rational side is probably going, this makes no sense whatsoever. So what pushed him? How did he do it?
Faith. It says that he believed that God had the power to raise from
him. It's faith. Mm-hmm. Right? You know, I really, you know, I appreciate Steve Doty's preaching. He brings it out quite well. He says, if your faith is in what you can do, is that really faith? Not really. If you can do it, why is it faith? You know, we got to believe in what God can do. And we got to believe in what God can do, even the impossible sometimes. You know, it starts out sometimes, maybe there's a sin. It's like, I just don't know how I can overcome that sin. And maybe we quit trying. Well, God can get you through that. Then it goes from there. God can get the gospel to the Philippines. God can get the gospel to Africa. God will get the gospel wherever he wants to get the gospel to. God can get the gospel to your neighbors. Your neighbor might hit a low point where they're open. Okay? We got to believe that God can do the impossible, or else we'll never try. Which is what most people don't even try. Most people don't even try the possible. That is Jesus's. Jesus can do the impossible. Abraham was an example of someone who put his trust in God. The Jews did not put their trust in God. The Jews put their trust in the flesh. Basically just their physical lineage. Abraham's my dad. He has a pretty weak argument. The proof comes in our actions. Micah, do you want to read James chapter 2? Verse 14 and then 20 through 29, I think. Let me check and make sure.
James chapter
2.
Verse 14
and then 20 through 29.
What use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but he has no works? Can't that faith save him? But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without work is useless? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac, his son, on the altar? You see that faith was working with his works, and as a result of the works, faith was perfected. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, and Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not Rahab the Harrowite also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead.
Thanks. So we need to have works that needs to flow from our faith. And those works should be the works of Christ. What did Christ do? He spoke a message of reconciliation to a world that desperately needed it, but he also took care of, you know, the lowly, those that were in John chapter 7, the woman caught in adultery. Pharisees said, "Want to stone or kill her?" He wanted compassion, mercy, love. Okay, you know, he didn't end that with "Go on, keep sinning because you can't help." He said, "Go and sin no more," which is where Christ is going. That's what he wants. He wants to raise us up out of there, but he has the compassion to meet us where we are at and to get us out of there. Those were his works. The works of the Pharisees and Sadducees was bad fruit. So God is trying to get man to start to have good fruit. How a person responds to the gospel, to the words of Jesus, is an indication where the heart is. Okay? Yeah, and the mega churches, they don't want to hear it. Why? Because they know that what is the road leads to heaven. Is it big or small? What's the road that leads to hell? Big, right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and they know that they'll lose that. They don't want to. Those in power know that. They want it both. They want the way. They want lots of people because lots of people means lots of dough. And then they want that, but they want it to be the truth. And Jesus said it's not going to be that way. Okay? He says it's going to be the narrow road. People claim to believe in Jesus, but their actions do not match up. You see that day in and day out. I think it was church softball leagues. No one wanted to be on the... some of those teams were rough. I played on a church softball league back in Idaho before we were married. Remember, some of those, they were just rude, mean. It doesn't make any sense. Why? But again, you know, where's their heart? You know, it's not what we say, it's what we do. And that's what Jesus is trying to get across here. The And the Pharisees and Sadducees were great at saying things. They were great at, you know, putting other people under law, but their actions were wrong. Their actions were full of sin. Their actions were full of looking down on people and ignoring what really matters. Jesus' words to them, "But as is, you are seeking to kill me, a man who's told you the truth." It's like, what did I do so wrong? I told you the truth. That's exactly why they wanted to kill him, because he told them the truth. And you'll find that too. You know, if you're studying with people, you know, you can get people pretty hot at you sometimes. Because all of a sudden you expose at the mega church that their parents and grandparents have gone to for many, many years, or the Catholics, or whatever you want to plug in there, you expose this lie. They can get mad at time and kick you out of their house, whatever it may be. Again, you're just a messenger. Jesus is just a messenger. And if someone kicks you out of your house for showing them what the Bible actually says, you don't judge them. What judges them?
The word.
Their actions, yeah. Their response to the word, right? Okay. And it's the same thing here. The Pharisees and Sadducees, you know, Jesus didn't really have to tell them they were wrong. If you looked at their actions, they were all messed up. Okay. And that's what he gets across here. They're doing the deeds of the Father. You know, basically Satan wants to shut down truth. He wants to extinguish it. Those that are accomplices in that, you know, whether it be the megachurch, whether it be, you know, anybody, whether it be the government. The government's crazy. You can speak of any, you know, all sorts of religions are protected by the government. Muslims, Buddhists, whatever. Christianity, shh! Can't have any of that in some schools. It's crazy. Crazy, crazy, crazy. It shows again where their heart is at. Abraham was called the father of the faith because he listened to what he was told and he did it. Okay. Jesus likewise said that's the faith of Abraham. Listen to what God says and do it. We have the complete New Testament that shows us everything that we should do. Abraham wouldn't have persecuted Jesus. He would have been following him. If he followed God, I'm sure he would have followed Jesus. Okay. He would have fallen at his feet and worshipped. He would have been so excited. Again, he didn't have a preconceived idea that it had to be a certain way. Clearly the Jews did. And then ultimately, they decided to extinguish the messenger. But it's like throwing gas on fire. It just got more and more and more. All right. Questions, comments?
In Matthew 23, Jesus did warn him, you know, clean the inside of the cup.
Yep.
Which means clean what's inside before you worry about what you're showing on the outside.
You're exactly right. And that's exactly what he's saying. They had the outside all nice, spick and span. The inside, it was all messed up.
And, you know, that's a good message to all of us as well.
Yep.
Let's make sure our heart's right and make sure we're doing it the way God says to do.
You can get
real. We've got to start with the inside, with the circumcision of the heart.
You're right. It can get really easy to just focus on our actions. But even if our actions look good, but our heart's all messed up, doesn't work. Gotta get the heart right, and the actions go from there. Right, though?
Yeah, Mark 7, you know, he's kind of talking about, that's where he's saying your heart's far from me. But they're again on to him, like, why do your disciples not wash their hands? And he's like, you guys are so far gone, you know, you're breaking God's commandments
yep.
over here. But you're trying to stick to tradition. And I think it comes down to pride.
Yep.
And it was a lot with the money, too, but it was also with the stature. People won't worship. Satan won't worship, you know, and that's what it all comes down to is your pride and
yep.
your selfish.
And it's real easy for me to go wash my hands and sin in my heart. So, and they were, ooh, look, I'm washing my hands. Washing my hands. You know, they had problems inside and needed to get cleaned up. It points.
Well, like Jesus told him in that point, you know, it's not what enters the mouth.
Right.